Is it as easy to say that it's the coordinator scheme, or is it players, is it everything? I mean, how much can you kind of...
You know, I just think it's kind of somewhat the nature of the position of an offensive coordinator in the National Football League. People want to be entertained, and people want to see explosive offense. And so you kind of know that going in when you assume the position or you take on the position as an offensive coordinator. You know there's going to be people that are going to be very critical of you and what you're trying to accomplish. So you kind of, to me, I go into it knowing that. I know the situation here last year. I'm not naive enough to believe that it was all Greg Knapp's fault. I think the fans out there probably know that as well. But certainly there are some things that I hope that I can bring to the table that will allow us to have some success.
How much different will your offense look than the offense that was up here last year?
I think to say how much different, to put a percentage on, I don't know how you put a percentage on something like that. I can tell you this, I think your job as a coach, your job as a coordinator is to identify the skill set of the players that you have, to try and acquire a specific skill set. If you feel like you're lacking in certain areas, you'll try to acquire that skill set. But the bottom line is in the National Football League, you've got players in and out. It's different now than it was even 10 years ago, I think, in terms of how the free agency works now. And that, hey, you may not be able to, in the old days of the Bill Walsh or even Al Davis of the Raiders, where you're able to collect players and keep them on your team for an extended period of time. Those days are somewhat over, so you've got to be able to be flexible and be able to adapt your system to the personnel that you have on that team on any given year. So, you know, our job as a coaching staff will be identify the skill set of our players, who are our best players, what do they do best, how can we put them in a position to be successful and do the things that they do best. And so, you know, I think probably coming in a year ago, they made the switch to a zone system. You know, I don't know if you ever want to pigeonhole yourself that way and say, well, this is what we do. Well, you may not be able to do that based on the set of players that we have. So our job here, again, with the staff is to identify the skills that they have and what do they do best, and let's try and tailor our offense to those players' skills. And who are those best players? Is it, Marcel Reese is a different kind of a fullback. So what does he do well, and how can we get him involved in some of the matchups that will create problems for defenses? Darren McFadden, you know, initially maybe, you know, a year ago they weren't sure about that zone scheme. Well, now after a year of having to look at it, hey, maybe he is a downhill runner. You know, so we'll get back to some of the gap scheme and some of the things that he does well. But what does he do, and how do we fit our offense to fit those player skills? And it's no different with the wide receivers. What do they do well? Our tight ends, we'll, you know, have to know whether or not, you know, that Brandon Myers is re-signed or not. Well, what does a tight end do well? And so we'll try to tailor our offense based on, you know, the skill set of the players that we've acquired.
How close did you look at the offense from 2 years ago?
Well, we've been watching a lot of it since I've gotten here, to be honest with you. Not until I got here, and we, you know, went through and watched last year's offense and then went back and watched, really, not the entire season, but all of Darren McFadden's carries, and just wanted to get a feel for Darren McFadden. I think we're fortunate to have Skip Pete here, Kelly Skipper, to me, just because, you know, he's a guy that's been through a number of different coordinators. So I think that helps me in evaluating Darren and kind of getting a feel for, you know, what his position coach thinks that he does well. So,
are you able to, so you've been able to talk to the player, or are you not able to talk to these guys?
A number of, they've dropped by, but you know, contacted a few when we got the job. So I've had a chance. You know, Terrell Pryor has stopped by, and Carson Palmer, and I had Jordan Palmer this past season. So Nolan Palmer. So a couple of the players have been in for workouts. So I had a chance to meet with some of the players.
Are they able to see the playbook at all yet, or is that not until?
Yeah.
You saw this year specifically how the league has changed and the offense has varied with the quarterbacks that do more read option stuff. How do you look at a guy like Terrell Pryor, for one, and two, just what do you think that kind of quarterback does for an offense and how it challenges the defense?
Well, I think, you know, obviously watching the 49ers across the bay and the Seahawks and really the Panthers, you know, three teams that come to mind with those type of quarterbacks, I guess. Certainly, if that player is the starter, certainly it's going to create a number of different issues. If he's just a role player and there's a package, that creates a set of issues as well. So right now, you know, where we stand at the quarterback position, certainly we've got a veteran player in Carson Palmer that really has a unique set of skills himself, much different than Terrell Pryor's, certainly. So we'll go through and we'll let those two compete. We obviously like the ceiling of Terrell Pryor and where we think he can get to, but his skill set is completely different than Carson. So you go forward with the idea, we know what Carson Palmer is. He's played in the league a number of years. We know what he can do. We don't really quite yet know what Terrell Pryor can do at this level, but we have a pretty good feeling for what he is athletically. So there'll be packages for both of them, and we'll allow them to compete, and we'll just be ready either direction. Because, again, with this league and in terms of injuries and different scenarios that can happen throughout the league, you just got to be ready, again, to tailor your offense to whoever that player might be that's pulling the trigger. So we'll be certainly have a package for Terrell Pryor. We'll be ready to go that direction if that's the direction that we see fit.
But the quarterback job is open?
I mean, well, you know, in visiting with you know, Dennis and Reggie, I know Reggie's made statements that, you know, there will always be competition. I think there has to be competition in every position. I don't ever think you hand anyone a position from season to season or year to year. We're excited about Carson Palmer. Certainly, again, he's a guy that's got an experience and experience of playing at a high level in the National Football League. So, you know, we'll go forward with the direction that the organization sees fit. And if they want competition, we'll have competition. At this point, I think they want us to, have a real good feel as we watch the tape. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the upcoming month in terms of contracts and whatnot. So we'll just be, you know, ready to win. I'll let you know that when we get to the day that we can get out in the field and start practicing.
Are you open to using two quarterbacks?
I just think you have to have a package. That's my feeling is when you have someone, if you're going to have someone and he's on your roster, and again, if he's got a unique set of skills that maybe is different or better than some of the other 10 players that you have or 11 players that you're having on the field, if he's not playing a quarterback position, does he have a set of skills that might be as good or better than someone else there? So I just think, once I get out and get a chance to see Terrell, and certainly I've seen him in college, and he was an explosive player in college, and I know that. So I just think it's important that you're, as a coach, you're willing to adapt and be flexible and be able to try and put a player like him that may be an explosive player on the field for you.
Who would you count as your influences in terms of offensive football and philosophy?
I've been fortunate, I think. You know, the guy that really, to me, that opened my eyes to the passing game, and specifically the spread passing game, was Dennis Erickson. He was the first coach that I was a graduate assistant for. And then I went from him to Mike Price. So those were two guys that, probably I would say my learning curve went up tremendously. Joe Tiller had coached under Price, and so Joe hired me at Purdue, and so at that point, we were, throwing the ball all over the field. We threw 85 times in one game at Purdue. So in terms of the passing game, those would be the biggest influences. And once I got in the National Football League, to me, Steve Mariucci brought me in the league in San Francisco, coached with him in Detroit. And then really, I felt like not a rebirth, but to me, that when I got the opportunity to work for John Gruden, it was eye-opening experience for me, and I really took to that and took to him and still remain very close. And I think he probably influenced me more than anyone in my years in the NFL.
How much of being open to the quarterbacks, I don't mean to beat this, but how much of this is a result of what happens with a Cameron, a guy who was kind of like Pryor up until the middle of the year, where you say, okay, you know, this guy can do a lot of things, but he hasn't played the game. And then he gets the opportunity and runs with it. Is it you feel like, okay, we really need to make sure find out if we have our own Kaepernick?
You'd like to find that out. So what's different about Kaepernick is certainly that they feel great about him in all areas of the game. They feel great about him as a passer. So he's a guy that plays full-time. It's not as if they bring him in for a package or a play or two, and that's the difference between a Tebow or a Wildcat or some of the other things, packages that have kind of hit the National Football League. If you have a guy that can stay there and play 65 plays a game and do those things and also be able to throw the ball from point A to point B accurately, if he possesses those skills as well, then you certainly have something. And so that's what we'll have to find out with Terrell Pryor. We know what kind of an athlete he is. We need to find out what kind of decision maker he is, and we need to find out, is he a guy that can also sit in the pocket and deliver the ball from point A to point B accurately and on time and making the right decisions? So that above all else becomes the most important. Can he make good decisions, and is he accurate as a passer?
Will you be able to figure that out in mini camps and OTAs, or somebody that takes exhibition games and real
I'd
games?
Like to believe it's always an ongoing. It's an always an ongoing evaluation process, and you know, you'll get a feel for, I think, a player throughout the OTAs, throughout the June mini camps, in the training camp, and then obviously the bottom line. Even to me, preseason is an evaluation tool, and there's a big step from preseason to the regular season. As many players will tell you. And even the regular season playoffs. But, you know, you should have a pretty good idea. To me, at that point, we'll have a pretty good idea about what he can and can't do.
What did you see from him when he got that start in the final game?
I mean, I saw some good things. You know, we saw some good things there. I think it's too early to say what he's going to be based on that limited playing time that he's had. But there's certainly, you can see the athletic ability in him. I'd still say he's raw. I'd still say he's developing.
You mentioned you look back at his Ohio State.
Yeah. And I remember when he came out, obviously, as a quarterback coach, you're always kind of involved in the evaluation phase of those players. And he did a lot of good things there in college at Ohio State. But again, it's a different game. You know, there's a lot of players that played very well in college that have never been able to make the transition to the professional game. So.
You mentioned the unpredictability of the league in terms of contracts and who knows what will happen. Do you have to be prepared for the fact that the possibility that someone other than Carson Palmer will be the quarterback?
Oh, I think always. I mean, I just think that's the nature of the beast, and that's the nature of the National Football League. And I understand that. I think Carson Palmer understands that. You know, as a guy, he understands that. So you just have always, like I said, that's to me the importance of being flexible and being willing to adapt as a coach and be willing to adapt your philosophy as an offensive coach and what you're going to do and how you're planning on attacking people.
Knowing you're so early in your evaluation process, what do you see from your wide receivers now? A lot of drop passes last year. There was a lot of miscommunication, it seemed, at times between the quarterback and a couple of the guys.
One, I could say, not a perfect scenario, but it's the NFL. When you're turning over systems, a new system this year, a new system the following year. So that there will be, to me, you, as a coach, again, you're trying to eliminate any of that miscommunication that's happening, and that'll be my job, is to eliminate any of the miscommunication. I do see, though, a young group of wide receivers that are talented, and yet they're still developing. But as a group, as an overall group of players, I do see a good skill set of that group overall, and they're all kind of different, when you look at them. But I do think there's not one that really jumps out or sticks out. They all have their unique set of skills. The one thing that they do is they do look tough. They are willing blockers. And that's important. That'll be important to me and important to us as a coaching staff, is developing the physical and mental toughness at every position. But, I like the group overall as a group because they are a young group. They are still developing. They're not the finished product yet, but I still see a high ceiling for them, much like I do in Terrell Pryor.
You need a number one receiver. I mean, nobody has ever gone and really taken that mantle.
Well, I agree. I think that's all. You'd like to have someone like that, someone that stands out above the rest. Yeah. But if not, I see a solid group overall. And those touches may get spread out amongst that group if you don't have one. And that's, again, part of the adaptability of you as an offensive play caller, offensive coordinator, is if you don't have that guy, then let's spread out the touches. If we don't have a guy that's significantly better than everybody else, Let's find a way to spread the ball around, which makes it very difficult to defend as well if you're doing it that way. So certainly you'd love to have a Calvin-type, Johnson-type guy, but if you don't, then find a different way to move the football.
You talked a little bit about the guys that go to different systems here for the last 3 years. How long does it take? Will it take, you think, to grasp this system and to be?
Well, hopefully about 4 months is what you're hoping. and that's how it is. It's got to be player friendly. Whatever system you have, I think it's got to be player friendly because you don't have a lot of time. You're not given a lot of time in the National Football League. So whatever that system is, let's make sure that it's something that the players can assimilate and learn very quickly. Because it is, if they're playing slow, if they're thinking too much, they're going to play slow. And so that creates problems. Or if there's indecision or if there's miscommunication, those type of things you try to eliminate as a coaching staff. So, I think it's a system that will be player friendly and make it easy on those players.
You were with the Rams at a time when they were putting up the ball quite a bit, and then with the Jags where you like to run the ball a lot. So it seems if you're open to tailoring the offense to the talent you have. Based on that, how do you see this offense look at with the guys that you know that you're going to
have? Well, again, we really don't know who we're going to handle yet. There's certain positions where we still have some unrestricted free agents. There's just, to me right now at this point, there's just too much uncertainty. Based on the 11 players that were the predominant starters last year, and knowing the type of tailback and type of quarterback. We're talking about Carson Palmer as the starter who finished the season, and Darren McFadden as your tailback. Carson's a pocket passer. So you're looking at, a heavy play action, push the ball down the field that way. And, you're looking at tailoring some of the gap scheme stuff for Darren McFadden where he's able to hit the ball going downhill. And those two go hand in hand. The downhill gap scheme and the hard sell play action, to me, fit those players. And those are the players you're looking at. So we just have to assimilate some of those concepts into what we're doing offensively.
You touched on it a little bit earlier with Marcel Reese, what sort of an offensive coordinator, what kind of weapon?
Yeah, I just think, again, he's gotten such a unique, again, I use the term, it's a unique set of skill set for a fullback. As a college wide receiver, he'll present some matchup issues. I was pleasantly surprised in watching the tape to see that in a lot of the downhill lead plays where you need a fullback to go in there, would you characterize him as a big thumper type fullback? No, but he did willingly go in and block some of those linebackers on those downhill leads. So to me, I was pleasantly surprised in seeing that. So I was excited about that, to be honest with you. But also, again, to see him get out of the backfield and to spread out in some of the one-back sets or some of the empty sets and to look at the matchups that you can get with him was exciting as well because he does have tremendous speed. He has very good hands. And he's got loose hips. He can kind of run some of those option choice routes that are matchup nightmares for defensive players.
He had some success once McFadden and Mark Goodson went down. Would you be open to using him
as a third down backer? Oh, no question. That's the other thing to me that was excited about to see him in that role. He did run the ball well when he was handed the ball from the one back. And he'll have some carries as a fullback as well in the fullback position. But it's nice to know, and even especially from a quarterback standpoint, to have somebody like that is built like he's built and is also intelligent enough to be that third down back and understand the blitz packages that other teams are doing and then to have the tremendous hands coming out of the backfield. So I was really, again, pleasantly surprised at that part of his game that he could go in and be a third down back and could do it, but not just kind of a plug-in type guy, but not only did he do it, but he did it well. So excited to see that.
About 85 passes in one game with the degrees, I'm assuming.
Yes.
What was it like being around him or coaching him?
Just a special player. Knew he was special right away. Accuracy-wise, I'll never forget, it's probably the second week of two-a-days. when we elevated him to the number two spot as a true freshman because of his accuracy and what an accurate player he was. But just the intelligence, just the total package from him, you know, overachiever and everything that he does, you know, within the game of football, but also outside. He's just a special guy, and I was just fortunate to have a chance to coach him.
When we spoke in Alabama, Tony hadn't been hired yet, and now that he's has his own offensive mentality as well. How are you guys going to work together?
Well, we've kind of, you know, shut the door really this first couple of weeks here. He and I have just kind of gone in and shut the door and talked through philosophically and how we're going to call things and, you know, what things hit his brain as opposed to mine in terms of calling a game and the different different ways you can call. I mean, everyone might be running the same plays, but they call it differently. So we just wanted to get on the same page in terms of our terminology and language, and we've been able to do that here the last couple of weeks. And philosophically speaking, I think we're on the same page on what we want to do and how we want to attack people. As an offense, and it will be. I use that term attack, and you know, I don't want the defense to set the tempo of the game. I want us offensively to be able to set the tempo, and he's all about that. And I like his mindset, and I think we'll work very well together.